Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 54 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new video game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Krause.
Good morning. I can't hear us, but we are getting audio.
Okay. Well, Eric's going to figure that out. You want me to keep talking?
Yeah, go for it. Dude, you can do the whole rigmarole.
Oh, yeah, the whole rigmarole.
Yeah.
Everyone, before we start, please, if you enjoy this show, if you've ever enjoyed this show, or you think maybe one day you'll enjoy this show, please consider following or subscribing on twitch.tv/lateforembargo, where you can catch the show early Mondays as we record it live at 8 a.m. Central. Or, if you want to catch the show on Thursdays at 10 a.m., you can follow on any podcast service that you please, and we will be there for you every Thursday. Eric, I want to weave you a little tale about my night last night.
Yeah.
I just told you about it pretty much before we started. Yesterday, I had a nice day. It was advisement day here at school, which means we didn't have class.
Yeah.
And so, I'm like, I'm going to get my oil changed. My car has been, like, needing an oil change, and I was worried it was going to blow up.
Well, that's not really what, yeah, but okay.
I don't know anything about cars, but I was like, oh, man, I gotta get oil, right?
Yeah.
And so I went to Walmart, because I'm an idiot. And yeah, I was like, I need groceries. So. I know they do the oil change business, you know?
And I've been telling you to go to this place, Eau Claire,
because it's really good. But I was already here, you know?
Yeah,
true. And so I went to Walmart, and I drop off my car, and they're like, oh, cool, there's a couple people in front of you, but we'll get it done. I'm like, all right, sweet. It's an oil change. Can't take that long, right?
Yeah.
And so
shouldn't take more than 30 minutes.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to get my groceries. I'll come back. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I go and get my groceries. And I come back. And I'm like, oh, my car's not even in the shop yet. You know, this has been about 30 minutes. I'm like, fine. You know, they're doing something.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting. And I'm like, oh, cool. It's been an hour. My car's still not in here. And I'm like, I have a lot of groceries, and I'm kind of worried about them.
Yeah.
So, and so I'm sitting there, and Eric, it took them like 2 hours to get my car in the shop.
Yes.
And
okay, I'll let you finish the story.
An additional 2 hours to finish the oil change,
which is just egregious. At the hour mark, I'd be like, okay, I'm leaving. Especially if your car's not even in the shop yet. Like,
Eric, I am. I have no guts.
Yeah, I know. I know you're like the most passive person ever and like avoid confrontation at all costs.
Yeah. And so geez. At some point I literally went and got like new groceries. I was like, you know, these aren't bad, but I don't want to risk it. And so I like went and I'm like, all right, new almond milk, new stuff. And
so you spent more money on the stuff you already bought.
Oh, no. I hadn't bought it yet.
Oh, okay. You hadn't checked out.
Yeah, I hadn't checked out yet because I was waiting for my car.
Oh, okay.
And so, that was a fiasco
that left
me dead inside.
Did you switch out your groceries?
Switched out my groceries,
so you gave someone else the for an hour and a half.
I don't think they were bad. I just didn't want to risk it. You know?
You got one of the baby stomachs, so.
Yeah. And I was there forever. And I will say I've decided that when I die and go to hell, because that's, you know, gonna happen, that will be, you know, I think everyone probably gets like a personal hell.
Yeah, your and, personal hell is gonna be sitting waiting for an oil change for all of eternity.
Yeah, my personal hell will be I bring my car in for an oil change and the oil change never comes. And my phone is dead and I'm watching Finding Dory 3 times.
Yeah, just on repeat.
Yeah,
just the same thing over at least Finding Dory on.
I was like, I don't care about this movie right now. I couldn't focus. I was just like, I want to leave.
You should have really just brought your computer.
But I didn't think, that was the whole thing. Like, I didn't think it would take long. I didn't prepare for this.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a routine thing.
Yeah, you should have been in and out. Especially, it was Tuesday night.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's a Tuesday. You know, there can't be that many people here. There really weren't.
Yeah. Don't go to Walmart again.
Anyways,
I've been telling you,
Eric. What have you been playing? I want to get to the game of the show, but first, I'd like to know.
Well, before I get to that, because I'm just playing Destiny like always, we're gonna do a little segment called Eric's Tech Tips.
Okay,
and it's not gonna be a recurring thing.
It's just gonna be a one-off.
I just want to kind of complain about something I did that was dumb.
Okay,
so here's the thing. We have a lot of cables in our living room, right? Because we have to run a lot of things into my PC, which is in my room, which is right because we recorded our living room. So it's like my PC is in our room. And so we have to run a lot of stuff from there to here, which is a bit of distance. It's not too far.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of distance. And last night I learned it's more than 10 feet. Because I bought, so we, on Monday, our streaming, or our capture software for our camera failed us, and that's why we didn't go live on Monday. And so, I bought this thing called the Elgato Cam Link, not sponsored, and I need an HDMI out from our camera to HDMI, and so I bought a 10-foot one, thinking, oh, 10 feet, that's plenty of room, right? That's 4 feet taller than I am, but if I lay down diagonally, that's about the length.
Yeah, I mean, I would say 10 feet would be enough.
Yeah, the problem is, it's not enough because the cable has, like, on the opposite side of the camera, so it has to, like, have the extra amount to kind of curve.
Yeah, okay.
And then kind of come down and around, so it's just not enough. So my tech tip, always just buy excessively long cables, yeah. Like 20 feet.
And then you get the slack to, you know.
Yeah, then you have more than enough. Like, because we have a micro USB 2 USB cable that we previously used for our camera that we're using right now because I didn't have a long enough cable. So I just fixed the other software we use. And so that one's like 17 feet. And so that one just kind of curls up. And then I also have just an HDMI to HDMI cable that's like 20 feet. And that one I don't even need because it literally goes from this TV we have right here just around the corner. And so it's all coiled up like right there at the bottom.
So did you say you got the one that was broken on Monday fixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're still going to use the Cam Link because I spent $115 on it and it looks way better, I think. And
okay.
It's going to be way more reliable to use that.
Okay.
I like Elgato software. Again, not sponsored, but we use a lot of their stuff.
If they want to, hell yeah.
If they want to sponsor us, yeah, we'll sell out immediately. Especially if it means they'll send us stuff because, like, we already use the Stream Deck, the capture card, and now Cam Link. So I'd be perfectly happy with using more of their stuff.
We're already getting a lot of requests in chat. Exactly one to make Eric's Tech Corner, you know, a recurring thing.
A reoccurring thing? That sounds like I have to do work.
No, yeah, exactly. Eric, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing Destiny. Let me tell you, I've been digging it. It's in a real good place now, I think, especially with the release of Shadowkeep. I don't like play a lot. Like I used to just get on and like do like a 4-hour grind, you know?
Yeah.
And I haven't been doing that a lot because I just don't have the time. And so now I'll just get on and play, like, for an hour, like, a night before, like, I go to bed or something. Like, if I don't feel like going to sleep, like, right when I get home from work, because that sounds awful, like, to just go to sleep right after work, then get up, go to school, go to work, go to sleep. And so I'll get on and jump on for an hour, and they added, like, a ton of ways to get... Because, like, the main grind is, like, to get your light level up, right? And
yeah.
Keep, like, making your character stronger, get higher numbers. And so, like, they added just a ton of different ways to get power engrams, which will level you up, which will give you better gear. And there were a lot before, but they kind of just changed them up from what they used to be. And, like, there's now just enough that I don't have to play the game modes I don't like. Because, like, there's a game mode called Gambit, which I just absolutely hate playing. And, like, before I'd have to play it because I want that power engram, but now I don't play it at all, and it makes me so happy.
What's Gambit?
Gambit is their PvEVP mode. So you go through and you fight a ton of enemies, but you're versing another team that's fighting a ton of enemies. And you get these things called motes when you kill an enemy, and you pick up those motes and deposit them into a bank. And you want to get, I think, 100 motes before the other team, which will summon a Primeval, which is basically a boss. And then you have to kill that Primeval before the other team kills their Primeval.
Okay, but you don't dig it.
I don't dig it. It's just, it's such a unbalanced game mode right now. And like the PvP aspects of it are just so annoying because the meta is so annoying right now. And it's just not fun to play. It gets real grating real quick, especially if you don't have like a team of four. Like if I had a four stack to like go in with, it'd probably be more fun because we'd obliterate everyone. But when you're just playing with randos, it's so annoying.
I played a little bit of this new game called Felix the Reaper, which was, you know, they revealed it during that State of Play and the Microsoft thing. I don't remember which one it was or if it was both.
I think it was the State of Play, right?
Maybe. Anyways, and so it's this game. It's like this puzzle game. You're playing like a Grim Reaper, like you're one of the Grim Reapers or whatever, and you're this like little chunky dude named Felix, and he loves music. And so you're going and, like, trying to set up basically, like, you're kind of, like, Ruth Goldberging it with, like, the, you're, like, just moving things around so that when time unfreezes, like, the people will die.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. And so I played, like, the first level, honestly. And I already was like, I am not into this, man. It's a puzzle game that I thought, I was like, oh, you know, it looks like it has some personality. It looks kind of quirky and fun. And there seems to be like a plot, but it's all these like light puzzles. So, you know, Felix has to stay in the dark. And so you're like manipulating time sort of so that the sun is moving so you can stay in the shadows and like you can move everything around. And I don't know what it is, man. I just found it way more like frustrating than fun. And this was like the first like set of levels. And I was like, nah, I don't think so.
No, oh, okay. Did it just seem really gimmicky?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that it I didn't even get far enough to like say whether or not the game had any heart or anything.
Oh,
like
okay.
I just hated the puzzle mechanic
of
staying in the dark.
Mm.
And I don't know. Everyone's like kind of looks weird. And the whole thing is that he wants to be with this girl who's in like the Bureau of Life, and you know he's in the Bureau of Death.
Oh,
and they're
okay.
Like, oh, it's, you know, star-crossed lover thing, and that's why he joined the Reapers. But I'll never see their love story. It was on Game Pass, so I didn't pay anything for
You'll
it.
Never help him come to fruition.
Yeah, and so I was like, I don't like this. But you know, I'm sure it's someone's thing. And the thing is, I like puzzle games.
Yeah,
I dig that sort of thing, but not this.
Mm-hmm. Oh well. Been playing anything else?
On stream, we have been playing, and we beat on stream, Resident Evil 2. Remake. Bum-bum-bum-bum, bum-bum-bum-bum, bum-bum-bum-bum-bum, game of the show!
I'm a little confused there. I didn't
know
if you wanted
me to
do
I was, like, waiting for you to react, and then I went, oh, I should probably
just
do
Yeah, I was, like, I was just waiting for you to do the song, because that's usually what you do.
Yeah.
But, like, do you want me to do the song?
Yeah, so for Spooktober... I was like, you know, let's play some spooky games. We've both been talking about how much we want to play Resident Evil 2 Remake
because
everyone's been raving about it the whole year. And I was like, well, let's just, you know, buckle down and beat a game this month, which is cool. We've never really, you know, we usually play games that are repeatable kind of things, multiplayer games, or we'll jump into something and then, you know, leave it.
Yeah.
As we did with like Until Dawn, which
very quickly.
I didn't really like that game that much, honestly.
Yeah.
So we played through it, and it was kind of an interesting way to play that game, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a way I haven't really ever played a game before.
Because we would come back after a week, because you know we stream every Thursday, and be like, "What the fuck is happening?"
Yeah, it'd take like a couple minutes to get like our bearings back, and like, okay, what were we doing? Where? Who's this little girl again? Why does it matter?
Yeah, and so I want to disclaim that. I'm not sure if that has if that affects the way we feel about the game at all, maybe. Because I really want to say I'm not sure I understand the everyone's like game of the year, like hands down. And I just don't see it. Maybe it's because I never played the original Resident Evil 2, so I don't have that frame of reference for what this remake did. And also, you know, we played it in kind of a weird, disjointed way, so maybe the story didn't quite hit as much as it should have.
Yeah, we also only played half the campaign technically because we played Claire's storyline and then we didn't play Leon's.
Is that something that everyone? I feel like that's the way most people play the game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I do too. So I just don't know. As another disclaimer, I don't know how much it actually affects. Like maybe we're missing something huge that happens.
I mean, I did a little bit of reading online, and it seems like Claire's story is the one people like.
Yeah, I think I liked her story. I think I liked the story overall of the game. It did seem a little, we also weren't spending a whole lot of time reading a bunch of the stuff either, because not doesn't make great content where you're just sitting there staring at a screen reading
text.
Well,
yeah, we could read it out loud. But
we could, but that's kind of weird to
keep. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we read enough. We got the gist.
Yeah, we got the gist. We'd speed read a bunch of it. But it did seem like the game doesn't really explain to you a whole lot that's happening. And again, I don't know how much it explains in Resident Evil 1, like, what's going on or anything. Like, just in the world in general. So, we didn't really get any explanation with what Umbrella Corp is or why the zombie kind of thing got broke. I guess we figured out that, are we doing spoilers or not spoilers?
So, I want to start and just talk kind of no spoilers for a little bit, and then we can bust into spoilers.
Okay, so I guess you get some answers for the antagonist, but it's kind of loose. And then other than that, like, I think the gameplay was probably my biggest problem, and not like the just normal gameplay running around the open world stuff, but like in particular the boss fights were my least favorite thing to do. And I was by the end in the last boss fight, I was like getting tilted.
Eric was like, "You just do it. Eric, just do it."
I was getting so mad.
Yeah. So I think that it had this weird mix of like, you know, you're going through these hallways and like each zombie is a threat, right? Yeah. Like that's the cool part about I thought the game is that, you know, you're kind of slow, you know, the ammo is very limited. And so whenever you see a zombie, you're like, this is, you know, a threat to me. It could easily take me down.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. But I almost felt like it was maybe at odds with some of like, it's very Metroidvania, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're going around this like fucking, I don't know, man, Victorian police station.
Yeah.
I don't know who built it.
Excessively large Victorian police station.
Yeah, excessively large and like so many hidden passageways and stuff. Like, yeah. Who built this police station?
Literally, at one point, there's a door that's locked with chess pieces. Like, what? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and so it just, at those parts, I was like, it kind of takes away from the tension almost, where I'm like, I'm just trying to find whatever the fuck I need right now. Mm. It's like this weird puzzle solving stuff. And I didn't find it like bad per se. I just didn't feel like it meshed kind of with the other stuff. I guess maybe it gives you downtime. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, cool. Now I need to go find this thing. You know, things aren't super tense right now. So then it can rise again when you get to, you know, another scary ass part or whatever. Yeah. But it felt a little weird to me. And again, I think that if I'd played Resident Evil 2, the original one, you know, there's all these tank controls and you know, if I beat that one, then you kind of already have a frame of reference for how this game goes. You come in, you're like, oh, it's controlling so much better. You know, all the things I'm familiar with are still here and I know how to do them. But just as a new game, I think it holds up. I think it plays like a, you know, a 2019 game.
It's absolutely gorgeous too.
Yeah, it's so pretty. It just felt like a weird experience that way.
Yeah. With the controls, I don't know if it controls like a 2019 game, because I felt so stuck. I feel like in 2019 when I play games, I am fluid as fuck.
Well,
and I'm doing,
I think it's on purpose though, right? Like it's a modern rendition of tank controls, right?
But man, why? Like, couldn't I just feel like better? Like, I don't know. I constantly wanted to move faster, and the aiming is just very hard. Like, every Thursday, it takes a hot second to get used to the aiming again. But again, we were playing for 3 hours every week, so it might have been that. Like, if you just stick with it and beat it, you get used to it, probably. Also, we were playing on PS4, because I played the demo back in January, but I played that on PC, and I do remember aiming being a lot easier.
Okay.
But that's mouse and keyboard, so it's always going to be easier.
I blame my roles in chat pointed out that Raccoon City was probably built by the same people who built Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I kind of like that canon.
Yeah.
So I want to get into some non-spoilery, like, story stuff.
Okay.
Just set the scene. So you come up and immediately you can pick Leon or Claire. And we pick Claire. And her story is that she's going into Raccoon City because she wants to find her brother, who's a police officer, which is why she ends up at the police station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the setup for that. And things very quickly change. And I don't think it's spoilery to say that it just felt kind of strange.
I'd say she falls in love with Leon in like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, that part was weird, right? Where like they have this weird connection that I'm like, I don't really buy it, but I get it, whatever, you need this dude. We see him a couple more times.
There's never a point really that like they admit their feelings to each other, but it's very like anime ass like kind of thing where
she just always seems kind of concerned about, like, you know, he's there, and like she's like, oh no, Leon, like you gotta go, there's zombies or whatever. I'm like, why do you, like, you don't even know this guy.
Yeah, like, you just met. I get that you're maybe a caring human being, caring for other people, but at zombie apocalypse, you should be worried about yourself right now.
Yeah. But with her brother, the payoff for that is kind of strange because it's the setup, right? She's coming in and you just kind of immediately find out that, like, her brother's on vacation. Like,
just not there.
Just not there.
And then Yeah, and then you proceed to have to, like, the goal goes from fighting your brother to just get out of this crazy-ass police station.
Yeah. So, Eric, I want to get into some spoilery stuff. For anyone who hasn't played the game, I think it's worth playing. I think this is a game that is going to be in the conversation in 2019, and I think it's good. For all the things we're complaining about, like, I think it's a good game.
Yeah, I do too. I did have fun with it. I think it has, if you like scary games, this one's not like absolutely terrifying or anything, but it definitely had a few moments that got both of us. And so like I enjoy that.
Oh yeah, it was pretty scary in a way that I enjoyed. I do not like scary things. Mm-hmm. I'm like a big baby.
Yeah.
My girlfriend and I are going to like a haunted thing this week. I'm not excited about it.
Yeah. Oh, you are? Going to a haunted house?
No, yeah, we're going to like a haunted trail thing. Uh-huh. I'm really just not pumped about it. But this game I think had like, it was tense and it was scary, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like, I don't know, man, Outlast or something. Where yeah, I was like, nah, fuck this.
You don't get like that crippling fear of like, oh, okay, I just don't want to move. We're stuck here. We live here now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because you have a gun and you feel like you can at least fight back, but it's like, you never even feel overpowered, really. You know what I mean? That's kind of the cool thing is that I kind of assumed that as you went, you know, you'd be like, ah, fuck these zombies. But like, really, like, they can get you.
Yeah, the whole game, too. And ammo scarcity is a big thing the whole game. I think, yeah, there's, like, several instances where we just, okay, we're out of ammo.
Yep, we're out of ammo. Don't know what to do now.
Yep. Just run.
Yeah. I appreciate, too, that, like, there's a lot of cool mechanics with the zombies, too, where, like, oh, I'll shoot him in the knee, and then, you know, he can't, at least then I don't have to put a bunch of bullets in him, and he can't reach me, really.
Yeah, he can't, like, grab onto you. And there's cool, like, dismemberment mechanics with the knife and stuff, where you can actually cut off, like, a specific limb. So I just started, like, sawing off people's legs.
Yeah, whenever, because, you know, sometimes you'll kill a zombie, but they won't really be dead. Yeah. So you run past them, and they do the thing. And so Eric would always just pull out the knife and, like, cut them a bunch of times until, like, their legs were off. And then he's like, oh, they can't really get me now.
Yeah, just, like, suck it.
Yeah, and that's kind of a cool way to, like, kind of cheese the like, mechanics, or, you know, like, the surprising points where it's, like, a zombie's supposed to jump out at you. You're like, well, I'll check it.
Yeah. I don't want to waste a bullet, but I got, like, 7 knives on me right now.
I'll use those. So, spoilery stuff. Spoilers from here on. If you don't want to hear that sort of thing, maybe you go and play the game and come back.
Yeah.
But I think that the boss fights in this game varied very much.
I didn't, so I played all of them except for the last one.
No, that's true.
Yeah. That was the last one. Oh no, you did the one where you have to where you control the big storage container.
Yeah, big storage container. And I played a little bit of Mr. X.
Yeah. Well, is Mr. X really a boss fight? You just run away from him.
What? Yeah. I mean, he's the best thing about that game, I'd say.
Yeah. He is definitely my favorite part about the game. He is the only instance of I like that I feel like I'm stuck in the mud and I can't move fast.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, I hate it.
Because he also couldn't move fast.
Yeah, because he was also just this menacing force and all you could do was run away slowly. And so with the boss fights, the fact that I get that there's no dodge because there's definitely not dodge in the original game, as I don't even think that was a mechanic yet in games. And so I get like there's no dodge, but like, in boss fights, when the zombie would actually move fast and come directly at you or would throw something at you and you could only walk like at a quick pace, like not like a quick walking pace away, not like a brisk or anything, like you wouldn't even be breaking a sweat at this walking pace to like get out of the way. It was just so infuriating.
Yeah, it felt like, I don't know, man, especially with the boss fight I was playing where you're on this like tiny platform, right? Yeah. And there's this big hulking zombie guy that's like the boss for the whole game, basically.
Yeah.
And he comes after you and I'm like, I just don't even understand if there's a way to get around him. You know, you can kind of like run towards him and try to stay away from his like big slicey arm.
Yeah.
But it just feels so unfair. It doesn't feel like tense or scary or like, you know, it doesn't feel like I think the game wants it to feel. It felt frustrating and like unfair.
Yeah, because there's nothing you could do to not get hit. So like we were going through like herbs and medicines like super quick because it's like, okay, just take the hit and then heal. I think the first boss fight kind of did it well, whereas the later ones didn't. Is like the arena for the boss fight made it a little bit more fair, because in the first one you're down the sewers and you're in this area where there's a ton of stuff. You can keep basically moving in a circle and turning around and shooting the guy.
Yeah.
So it made it so he couldn't hit you, because if he was about to hit you or throw something at you, you can like walk around a corner, because there was enough of that kind of stuff in the area. But in the later boss fights, you're basically just in a big arena, and there's nothing you could do to get away from the thing or duck behind or do anything with.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I was getting so tilted at the end of the boss fight that I'm like, just can't do anything. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah. And I just think overall those moments kind of took away from like the overall tense, scary nature of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it just, I don't think they did. They felt right. Except for Mr. X, who I think was
Mr.
great.
Mr. X always felt great, because you're just...
How scary, too, when he comes, dude.
Yeah. Because,
you know, you're going through, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, you know, we're really making progress. And, you you know, you finally get to, like, kind of the helicopter, and he just fucking boom. And like,
yeah, he just rips the whole thing up, and
scary.
He just starts walking.
So like, scary.
And you unload a clip into him, and he keeps walking towards you. You're like, okay, dipping out.
Yeah. I want to know what his deal was, though. That was the only thing where I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah, he just has like literally no story.
Big fedora man, who knows?
Big fedora man in trench coat.
Yeah. And and so you there's like a lot of shit you have to do too. Like it's a fair amount where like, oh man, we have to get so much stuff before, you know, and he's following us the entire way, and it was so stressful.
He's just an incel on the internet that is like, when he brags about being super powerful and his power level's over 9,000, he's like actually being,
he's the only one that's like very, being real. And so I want to talk as well about Claire's story and Sherry, who is, you know, the little girl. You go, when you get into like kind of the basement area of the, police station, you find this random girl, her name's Sherry, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna help you, right? Like Claire immediately is like, I'm gonna save this kid, and you go, and she just immediately gets nabbed by this dude, and we're like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah,
why did he just grab this girl from us? And so he turns out to be like the police chief, and he wants something from her, right? Oh yeah, he wants the neck, her, the thing that her mom like gave her.
Yeah, so she was wearing this pendant that's like a key to the lab that's like in the sub-basement of this Victorian era of police station.
Yeah. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to... That's, you know, the goal then becomes save Sherry. Mm-hmm. And so you go through this whole thing, and you even get to play as Sherry, which I thought was really neat. You know, because it's like, it's not... You're not facing zombies or hiding from zombies. You're hiding from that guy.
Yeah.
Which is really, like, really tense and scary and cool. And, you know, you finally reunite with Sherry because there's, you know, zombies and all that good stuff. And the scary police chief guy gets killed by the giant monster that's the whole boss for the game. And then you run into Sherry's mom, and Sherry's mom's like, I don't have time for this or whatever. She's, I'm like, this
is... She just leaves her like in this chamber.
Yeah. She's like, why didn't you stay in the house or whatever? Like, it was a whole thing.
Yeah. Cause the world's ending, Bob.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, mom, did you notice there's like a lot of zombies around?
Definitely would have been safe in the house.
Anyways. And so she's totally whatever about it. And like Sherry gets stuck in this, like, I don't know, man, poison room thing. I don't really remember how she got there, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, because the mom takes her away, and then you have to get through the stupid puzzle door with the chess pieces, and then you finally get in there, and you pick up Sherry, and then the mom's just gone. And so, like, I don't remember why the mom left her in there either.
Yeah, like, and she's, like, infected now.
Yeah.
She's, you know, her eye looks all busted. She's all infected.
Yeah, she got the worst case of pink eye ever.
Yeah, and we're like, hey, you mom lady, like, you got to fix this. And she's like, well, there's a cure, you know, in the lab, the the umbrella core or whatever. And so that's what, you know, then you leave the police station and.
Well, no, you just go down deeper into the police station.
Yeah, I guess. It's like connected through a fucking railway or what, for some reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go and you have to find the cure, and that's a whole thing. And then, you know, you cure Sherry, and then her mom's dead because you just fought the big boss guy. And that was, and then you reunite
which turned out to be your dad. Sherry's
dad. Yeah. The big boss turned out to be Sherry's dad, which I thought was.
So really, this whole game, just a big family drama.
Yeah, really. It really is. Because it's like the whole story is that they worked for Umbrella Corps and they started the G virus that like made all the zombies.
I think that's what I got from it. That the dad made the G virus.
And he was then randomly very protective over it. And he like, you know, got infected somehow.
Yeah. And then like spread it around because some SWAT team came and took it.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I think the story was serviceable. I kind of bought, I think I bought Claire's concern over Sherry much more than I bought like her concern over Leon, you know what I mean?
I felt, because that made more sense to me where, oh, you're just trying to protect a child in this horrible, dire straits.
Yeah.
And then over time, you kind of build, you start building actual concern for this child. Whereas Leon, it was just like, oh, Leon.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool.
And okay. We see him like twice
you
throughout
see
the
him
whole
twice,
game.
Yeah. And then each time you're like, why? We don't care about this dude.
Yeah. And so, you know, then you guys, there's this whole thing where you get on the train and you got this fucking minigun and you're fighting the final boss and just shooting it like with a bunch of bullets and stuff. And it was kind of fun. I liked the blast boss a little bit.
Again, I was too tilted.
Yeah, Eric was like, "No, I'm good." And then you ride off into the you know, your new family is you, Leon, and this little girl whose parents are now dead.
Yeah, and now your responsibility. Although Sherry did look a lot like Claire, so
did she?
I'd say she looked pretty similar.
Maybe. Yeah. So that's what we got for story spoilers. I mean, we probably butchered a little bit of it, but
I think we're pretty accurate.
Yeah, I think the story is like. Not the point, but I think it's serviceable and it's like pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not my least favorite part of the game. What did you think about all the Umbrella Corps stuff? You go into this big, you know, it's a whole new environment and you played through a lot of that part.
I thought it was kind of interesting because it's this kind of huge contrasting part from the rest of the game. Whereas you're in this gray and dreary police station like most of the game. And just a lot of weird Victorian era stuff in this police station. And then, like, you then finally, like, in the later half of the game, just, like, descend into this kind of high-tech facility. And it's, like, super clean looking. And there's the one area that's, like, just come with, like, the overgrown zombie plants.
Yeah,
and
so, those like, were scary.
Just
very
like,
clicker-like.
Whole, yeah, very clicker-like. Especially even the noises they made. And so... It was kind of cool because it kind of felt different. It kind of changed up the feel of the game a little bit too. And so like it kind of made it feel a little bit fresh in the later half of the game, which game wasn't very long. I think we beat in 8 hours.
Yeah, about 8 hours.
And so it definitely just gives it like just a different feel to kind of keep you motivated playing and exploring around.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. And I thought the new enemies in that area were cool. You know what we never talked about is those fucking scary ass zombie things that like crawl around on the ceilings and
with
stuff.
The weird bone in their ass.
Yeah, and they're like blind and they can't, so you have to like walk slowly or you can just fuck them up with like that the big grenade launcher gun.
Yeah.
And they were very scary and there was a lot of super tense moments with them.
Yeah, they're definitely the things that got us the most, I think, with jump scares wise, is like you don't know when one's in a room and you just run, then it just hops on you.
Yeah, very scary. You know, it's kind of a bummer because we got the good guns, I'd say. Like, we got the, you know, the cool grenade launcher and stuff.
Yeah,
and
we got everyone but the last one.
Yeah, and then the last gun, you kind of unlock a way to get it. And then I kind of just forgot about it. And, like, when, you know, you have the chance to, like, go to the Umbrella Corps. And they're like, oh, this is the last, you know, you can't come back. And I was like, oh, cool. And I pressed it. And then I was like, oh, fuck. Immediately, I was like, fuck, we didn't get that gun, huh?
Yeah.
And so we just never had the gun. And apparently it was, like... Probably it's, a pretty good one to have.
Yeah, it was like the shotgun or something like that.
It was like a electricity something. Mm-hmm. It like shocked people, but apparently it can one shot a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so I wonder how much that would have helped in the later boss fights.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because maybe it would have made him stumble or something.
Yeah, would have like you know made him stop in his tracks or something. Yeah. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but overall, I'd say Resident Evil 2 gets a. Half of a thumbs up for me.
Half of a thumbs up.
Like
is it like a sideways thumb or
no? Like this.
So you're still getting a
so
thumbs up.
It's vertical, like but my thumb broken. Isn't totally. You know.
Yeah. It's bent at the joint.
It's bent at the joint. Yeah. That's my. It gets a half of a thumbs up. I'd say that this game will make it probably on my game of the year list. Like you know, top 10 probably.
This would right now would be sitting at 10, I think.
Really? Me. Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't even know if I have 10 games for the list yet. So it's at the bottom right now.
Yeah. But I just don't. I understand, you know, people like. I understand why people like this game. I just think it didn't resonate with us like that.
Didn't resonate.
Yeah, it didn't resonate evil with us, you know?
Yeah.
I think that. I'm going to be pulling hard for something else. I don't know. Not this game.
Yeah, I don't think when it comes time for the conversation that this one's really going to stick around long.
Yeah, we'll see. A couple stray questions from the chat. Mr. X versus the Terminator. Who would win?
Ooh. Well, I'd say the Terminator, because the Terminator is a whole lot harder to kill.
Mr. X just kind of gets, we don't even have to beat him. He just gets beat up by the big zombie monster.
Yeah, and Mr. X died when he got stabbed through the chest, whereas it took literal lava to kill the Terminator.
Yeah, that's fair. So the Terminator. Can love bloom even in the zombie apocalypse? Probably in reference.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah, apparently very easily, Leon. Actually.
All you have to do is see just some hot hunk dude from the 90s and then you fall in love.
You just got to see a guy with a real 90s haircut.
Yeah.
Very 90s. What do you think? What do you think Leon's story is? Because the thing that we didn't really talk about is that they have different stories. Like, Sherry is not in Leon's story, or at least doesn't have the significance that it does in Claire's.
I assume you're just trying to find, maybe you get more of that relationship between him and Claire, because we don't really know the reason he's there other than that he is a police officer, and so it would make sense why he's at the police station, but I assume he's like looking for Claire the whole time, and so maybe you get more of their relationship.
Maybe. I don't know, though. I'd like to see at some point, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I am wondering if this game would be better if you know, we played it, if it was, because this feels like a weekend game, right? It feels like a Saturday Sunday kind of game.
Yeah.
So if
Saturday
knows?
You played Claire's or Leon's, and then Sunday you play the next one.
Yeah, or maybe I'll jump in at some point.
Problem
who
is replaying
knows?
Games. Is
yeah, replaying games work. Is not, you know, probably not really my thing.
Yeah.
So Eric, I think we're gonna get into a little game that I'm gonna call. We predict the Metacritic scores of upcoming games.
Okay, real quick here, though. Blame says, Leon doesn't have time for love with Claire. He's too busy dreaming of the president's daughter. Spoilers for RE4.
See, I knew. I was wondering. I was like, isn't that the same guy from RE4?
Yeah, I thought it was, too.
Which is a game that people say is amazing and doesn't need a remake. And it's on Game Pass, so
I've
been thinking about
playing it. It has, like, 700 remakes, though, for, like, every single console.
Well, I don't think they're remakes. I think they're just re-releases.
Re-releases.
They just get ports. Because it doesn't need, like, they haven't really changed, like, the design or anything.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go through and we're going to talk about some of this holiday season's biggest games coming up. And I want to predict what you think the Metacritic will end up at.
Right.
And I'm not saying this is like the quality of the game, how much we're going to like it, because Metacritic obviously is a weird system. I just want to know how close we can get to what the final Metacritic will be. And I will say I had Outer Wilds on this list because we were recording this on Monday and the reviews dropped the next day. So.
Yeah. We would have had better time.
And let me say, my score was exactly on. I said 82 in my little document, and it is 82 currently.
I feel like 82 is always a good number to go with, though.
Yeah, because I've been surprised, though, because the reviews I've read, actually, have been much more positive on the game than I thought they would be.
Hmm.
They're saying it's, like, actually very good. It's on Game Pass, so I'm going to play it, probably.
Oh, shit, yeah.
It launched on Game Pass because Microsoft just owns Obsidian now.
Oh, that's pretty, pretty sick.
So, kind of a sick deal there.
Yeah, because I definitely wouldn't buy that game.
Oh, yeah. And so, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's free. I don't really have anything to play right now. Why not?
Also, I don't like big open world RPGs, but I don't mind watching people play them. So,
yeah, that's true.
I'll watch you play it.
Sweet. Hell yeah. Eric, I want to talk about Death Stranding. And this is kind of where it came up, because I was like, Death Stranding is coming soon. And I just keep thinking about, what is this game? How is it going to be received, right?
89.
You think it's going to be an 89?
Yep.
I think it's a really fair prediction. But I want to hear why.
So, they know this game's gold. They gave this game to reviewers like 2.5 weeks early. And the last time they did that was for God of War. And look how God of War turned out.
Yeah. I mean, I think reviewers get games early like a lot. Like that early.
Nah, I don't think they usually get them this early. And then they're allowed to say they have them this early.
Okay,
though.
That's fair.
Like, they got them. Like, everyone's like, hey, we have Death Stranding already.
Yeah, and we can talk about it on November 1st.
Yeah.
I think that shows a fair bit of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern with this, because I'm thinking about Metacritic, Eric. So there's going to be, you know, not just the big review outlets on there.
Yeah, it gets...
I think that this game has this, like, sort of reverence already that it is something else. You know what I mean? And I think that people are going to get it, and they're going to see that it's a video game.
Yeah,
and I kind of,
it's not going to be this...
I kind of feel like just awakening. The context in which this game is going to be played is going to bring the score down a little bit. I'm sure... I really am confident that it's going to be good. Like, I think it's going to be at least good. But I think that... some people are not gonna like it because it's not...
They got overhyped, pretty much.
Yeah, because it's not something that's, you know, not a video game. I don't know. Mm. Like, you know what I mean?
I have a feeling this game, too, is going to be... It's going to feel even less like a video game than a video game feels. You know, if that makes sense. Like, it's going to feel... It's going to feel weird to play, I think. I'm a little worried that's not going to control very smoothly. It, just by the looks of it, like, from the things we've seen. I don't know. I'm very cautiously optimistic with it now, just from the more amount of stuff we've seen. Like, the thing that I really just... I just need to know what this game is that's motivating me to play.
Well, we've seen kind of now is that, you know, with the big breakout recently, kind of, like... what the game is.
Yeah. Well, we see kind of what you're doing. I don't know if we really know what it is yet. Like, there's weird pee mechanic. Like, I think this is going to be the most Kojima-ass Kojima game because he was just let loose to do whatever he wanted. He was allowed to just go out with Mark Cerny and get high and search for tech.
Yeah, and just film naked Norman Reedus carrying a baby everywhere. And
so, like, I don't know. This game's going to be super interesting. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. But, again, I think it's going to end up in an 85.
85.
Because I think it's going to underwhelm some people. And I think it's going to be too weird for some people. And I also think that some people are going to, you know, give it a great score just because it's just a weird thing from Kojima that they're going to... You know what I mean? Not, like, in a bad way. Mm-hmm. But I really think this game is going to be kind of polarizing. And I can already kind of see the discourse around it.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, maybe someone criticizes it for some weird representation. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Kojima has, like, the best track record with women, maybe.
Yeah.
And so I can already see an article, and then there's going to be a lot of big deals about it, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Like where people are arguing and stuff. I don't know. I think this is going to be a very polarizing game.
Yeah, it definitely will be interesting, to say the least.
I want to get on to a game that I'm very excited about. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
So this one, my hype's been slowly building.
Yeah.
We're getting into Star Wars season now, and I was the least concerned about it or least caring about Star Wars at all. I didn't like The Last Jedi, and that kind of ruined a lot of it, a lot of hype for me, right? But I'm like, they fucking pulled me back in. That trailer?
Yeah, that trailer was sweet.
Was sick. And then we got more... Or people got to go and play Star Wars, like, last weekend or something, and, like, play, like, the first couple missions in the game. And, like,
they actually I think they threw them in at probably, like, at hour two, and they let them play for just 3 hours.
And, like, what they were talking about this game sounds so much better than what we saw at
the E3 demo. That this game had a bad showing at E3.
And so I'm getting even more hype now, and I'm going to say this game's getting an 85.
Really? An 85? Yeah. I'm saying, Eric, because I think that this game is on the opposite scale of Death Stranding, I think it's on the upswing because people didn't realize what kind of game this was and didn't realize the potential. And so I think that this game is going to end up at a 90.
So the reason I'm not doing because I think the game will be very good.
I don't know Metacritic that well. Let me go. I just want to see, is 90 like an insane Metacritic score?
I think so.
Like, what's God of War at? Let's see.
I think God of War is at, like, 95, though. But anyway, I'm just saying, I think it's going to be in a lower 80 range because of just janky mechanics.
Oh,
94.
Okay, so God of War is at 94, so that's kind of a tall order, and I guess I probably should have done a little bit more of market research.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say 88.
Okay, there you go. But anyway, I'm just saying it's in 85 or, like, in that lower range just because I think... From what I've been hearing is that there's some kind of jankiness to the game, like from what I've like seen of people like talking about the game, that I think is going to bring it down. But again, the people that went and played it, the game hasn't gone gold yet. So those things might be fixed.
And
by then.
The thing that I'm so excited about, Eric, is everyone says the combat is like sick. Like it's very, it's like kind of Bloodborne light almost, or like people are saying it is kind of, you know, I hate everyone says, oh, this is the Dark Souls of, you know, whatever. But, like, people are saying that they've kind of taken inspiration from some of that stuff without, you know, maybe the punishing nature.
Yeah, and you get a fucking lightsaber.
So you know, think God of War, right? And, that just makes me so excited, dude.
Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a whole, like, unlock system and, like, upgrade system that, like, you get more moves and stuff that That's gonna be so fun.
Yeah,
I'm really
high on this game, and I think you could be right about 85 because also Star Wars fans just hate Star Wars.
Yeah,
and I think it's gonna depend a lot on the story.
Star Wars fans hate Star Wars the most, dude. It's so funny.
But I think that this game is gonna surprise people, and that's kind of what I'm going for. So I'm gonna say 88. What'd you say?
85.
I should be writing yours down too, huh?
We have it recorded.
Yeah, that's true. We'll figure it out later.
89, 85. So far,
the next game is Pokemon Sword and Shield.
This one I would have benefited from doing a little bit of research for.
Oh, to see what the other Pokemon games are at?
The other Pokemon games are. So you want to look this one up?
Yeah, I'm gonna look up Sun and Moon and say where Sun and Moon ended up.
All right, yeah, because I feel like every Pokemon game is basically the same, right?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree.
I think the Alohan versions were the most different, and then obviously Pokemon Let's Go was the most different you could get for Pokemon. But other than that, for all intents and purposes, it's the same game just with different Pokemon.
Yeah, and newer graphics and mechanics and stuff.
Holy
but like,
crap, it got an 87 Pokemon Sunday.
Okay. So these games tend to rate higher, and I think that this game is going to be better than Sun and Moon. Because I didn't play those games.
I do too, especially because there's a whole bunch of new systems. I don't think...
But here's the thing. People are already kind of bashing it, though, for not having all of the Pokemon. So I could see a fair bit of, like, review bombing coming in.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, people just going in and just saying, don't have all the Pokemon. I'm upset about these... I can't go and catch 2,000 different Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know how much... Because, like, people that would do that don't have that much weight on Metacritic. And so, I'm going to say...
Yeah, because I guess you have to be with an outlet, right?
Yeah, yeah, you have to...
Like, to be part of, because I don't think they take, like, the fan score into the overall, do they?
I don't remember. I think there's an overall critic score and an overall fan score.
Okay.
And then an overall average, I think. Maybe, if I remember correctly.
You know what? I'm going to say that this game's going to come in at an 86.
86, that's where I was thinking as well.
86.
I just literally said, well, if I say that though, I'm saying it's gonna do better than Star Wars.
Yeah, so we don't think so far we haven't really thought any of these games would be flops.
No, I don't think so. I don't think these games are all pretty much we can kind of assume they're gonna do really well.
Yeah, I think so.
And this is Pokemon. It's gonna be hard for them to screw it up.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is that I think that maybe the cream is rising. I don't know if that's the right term,
yeah.
But like people are getting more upset with like, I'm part of the Pokemon subreddit and people have just been shitting on that, like Game Freak for all the Charizard stuff. Not really, but just, it's just
how
constant.
Charizard
posts.
Fours are.
Yeah. They're, like everyone's like, oh man, Game Freak fucking loves Charizard.
I mean, Charizard's fucking dope.
Charizard is cool, man.
The only problem, still not Dragon type.
But I think there's going to be a lot of sweet changes of like, you know, there's going to be higher level Pokemon that show up earlier and you know, kind of randomly and stuff, but I don't know, man.
It's also the first one on Switch. So
that's true.
Sick.
It's kind of a big deal.
Other than Let's Go.
It's going to be like the first Pokemon game. Oh, I guess. Yeah. Let's Go too. Never mind. So yeah, I'm going to say 86. We'll see. I could be totally wrong though. Predicting these kind of things is hard.
Yeah, very much.
I want to take a quick, you know, not an intermission, but an interjection. To say, I blame my roles in chat, says, I think Cyberpunk 2099 is going to get review bombed. It is already getting a lot of complaints online for being able to play trans or non-binary characters, and real-life politics is going to make a lot of irate gamers post terrible reviews just because of that.
Yep, I agree.
I agree as well.
Gamers suck, honestly.
They do. And I think that game is going to be so good, dude. Maybe not my kind of game, because again, like, The Witcher 3 was maybe not my kind of game.
Dude, that's what I'm so... I want to play this game so bad, but it is not my type of game at all. And I know it.
But I just know... I just think it's going to be, like, a first-person shooter game that is The Witcher 3 of, like, that kind of game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I hope... Hopefully it controls better than The Witcher 3. Because honestly, I saw a tweet I agreed with very much yesterday that was like, The Witcher 3's movement mechanics are terrible and it's no excuse.
Really? I don't really remember. I don't remember having any beef with it.
Yeah. And I didn't like it when I was playing it. I always felt very stuck. And so I was like, I agree. But again, I don't know, I have that much of an opinion on Witcher because not my type of game.
See, again, I don't know how much fan stuff... Fan reviews come in on Metacritic, though. because it's critic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if anyone in chat knows, that would be good information to have. I probably should have done that information. And it's funny because I did research on other games and I just didn't bother to look that up because I didn't think about it. This shows how much of a great podcaster I am. The next one was Outer Worlds, which I said 82 and I was spot on.
Nice.
So I thought that game would underwhelm a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pushing the right buttons for me specifically.
Because it's free.
Because it's free. And it does a lot of interesting, you know, political stuff. It's about, you know, all about overthrowing corporations and shit, which I'm all about, you know?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, just the last trailer I saw for it, I think it was like at the State of Play, right? Or the whatever the Xbox Game Pass one was, where they showed it. The game looked just so generic sci-fi RPG to me.
Really?
That I was like, this doesn't even look
well. I think I'm gonna play it and come back at some point and we'll talk about it more on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I want to say again, I don't think that Metacritic is a judge of the quality of a game. Mm-hmm. But I think that we can kind of predict how people are going to perceive the game and that might shape the Metacritic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had Outer Worlds. Luigi's Mansion 3.
90.
90?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's going to be a 90?
People jerk off to Nintendo.
That's fair.
They love the Nintendo games. And so I think there's a lot of hype around this game for some reason that I just don't get at all.
Really? I'm excited.
And I couldn't care less about Luigi.
Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon is at an 86, and the original Luigi's Mansion is a 74.
Well, it's going up. Trend data seems
yeah,
to be
trend
going
data
up.
Seems to be going up.
So I
up.
Think 90's a safe bet. People, they're in love with Gooigi, dude.
I like Gooigi. That's what I'm saying. You see those? I sent you those comics about Luigi and Gooigi.
Oh yeah, those are pretty funny.
Yeah, and they were like very wholesome and sweet. And so I'm excited, dude. I'm really excited for Luigi's Mansion. I didn't even realize it's next week. Like that game comes out super soon on Halloween.
Yeah, Blame and Chat said it's 10 days away. So.
That's I'm excited. I think that game's gonna end up. I think it's gonna end up at because you know this is and people who like Nintendo love Nintendo.
Yeah,
this is gonna be a Nintendo game. It's another installation in a series that people really like.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some concerns. I was listening to like the Kind of Funny, you know, Gamescast, and they were talking about the fact that this one's introducing like the coins help you buy stuff that they didn't like that much, and the game is kind of weird.
Like microtransactions?
No. Like the coins are a currency now to buy items in the game, whereas before they were a collectible that helped you, you know, like get a bigger mansion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm not sure how people are going to take to the changes, and so that's kind of where I'm at here. I think it's still going to end up high. I'm going to say 87.
I think that's a safe bet.
It is weird that it almost feels like the range of like where games are rated that are pretty good is like somewhere in between 80 and 90. And then the really good ones end up, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah. I wonder if any games have 100.
I don't know.
They have been out for a while because they obviously hit 100 and then start going down once more reviews come in.
This is a weird one, Eric. This last one is a weird game. I don't even know what you know about it. I don't know anything
Did
about
you
it.
Pull a random game?
Well, no. Shenmue 3.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot.
Because this is a game people have been waiting like 10 years for.
Yeah, and I don't know what Shenmue is at all.
It's a weird
and I've never bothered to look it up, even though I've heard about Shenmue 3 for the last 15 years of my life. I think it seems like, and I've never bothered to look it up once.
Yeah, and so it's coming out, and I read some previews. People are very excited. They're saying it's more Shenmue. Which is weird, because Shenmue's like, I think it's like very, you know, you're in a small town kind of thing, and you're like living life. There's like some combat mechanics where you punch and stuff, but it's more, I think it's more of like, you're in a world kind of thing. I don't know, I've never played any of them, but I'm just curious to know where you think this game will end up.
76.
76?
Yeah.
So, the Shenmue 2 has an 88 on Metacritic. And people really love that game.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to be really excited. Like, this is a game that is more of what they want. And I'm going to say this game is going to end up at an 86.
I don't have a lot to say about Shenmue, and I'm just throwing out a random number because I have no clue about this game at all. And so my basis is kind of that it's been just, it seems like this game's been talked about for literally ever. And I think that maybe some people will be disappointed. That's all I got.
All right. Everyone, this has been the Late for Embargo. Never mind. What? This has been the Jesus Christ.
That's what it should have been called if we were smart.
This has been the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week when we overthrow our corporate podcast overlords. Anyways, I gotta go take a French exam. We love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Au revoir.
I'm getting fancy.